We're back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Rob Scarry Show. You guys are the best. You are. You're the best. We have the greatest. We have the greatest audience in the world. We do. We do. You know, with the convention going on, you don't really talk about other things that are happening. And a article last night, and of course, people are all going crazy here. I'm trying to set this up right now. I know I should have typed everything out on the soundboard while I was in my break, but I just had to get some air. It's 1,000 degrees in the studio. Okay? 1,000 degrees in this studio. It is. It's 1,000 degrees. So, all right, here we go. New York Times, Trump talk. That's quick and abbreviated, right? All right. Of course, Trump did an interview with the New York Times, and of course, the media is going crazy because of things that he said. And last night, this came out. I was actually reading it while I was taking my dogs to drop deuces, and it got my head kind of spinning. You know, Trump has said things about NATO or other foreign policy ideas or even domestic ideas. And you have people losing their minds. Let me read you just a smidgen, okay? A smidgen. Now, when Trump was talking about NATO, and it's not anything new, okay? But they said the commitment to automatically defending NATO allies if they are attacked. Trump said he would first look at their contributions to the alliance. Asked about Russia's threatening activities, which have unnerved the small Baltic states that are among the more recent entries into NATO, Trump said that if Russia attacked them, he would decide rather to come to their aid only after reviewing if those nations have fulfilled their obligations to us. If they fulfill their obligations to us, the answer is yes. I mean, again, that's really not that big of a deal. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's a big deal, but then I want to put this in context. I'm not saying it's a big deal. I'm saying why everybody's heads are exploding. Mr. Trump's statement appeared to be the first time that a major candidate for president had suggested conditioning the United States of its major allies. Okay? Now, what if 100 years ago you had television and print media and the internet? I know you have to suspend your mind here for a minute and kind of put us in that time, but with our technology. What if you had a president say, you know, I think maybe women should be allowed to vote. You know, I don't know if having slaves is something that the United States should do anymore. Imagine the outrage. I mean, seriously, because a lot of this outrage comes because people say, well, that's wrong. But this is a policy that we have done for over 100 years, over 50 years, over 40 years, over 200 years, however many years. You can't change that. We've done stuff. This debate on a lot of the things that Trump has said is about, well, you can't do that. That is not how we've done things for 100 years. That's not how we've done things for 50 years. That's not how we've done things. That's a major change. Okay. And are you saying that major change will result in catastrophe? You can't. Because the same stuff was said during Prohibition. Remember, we had booze, and then we outlawed booze, and then we made booze legal again? Imagine, we had booze, and then the government went, you know what? You can't drink booze anymore. What do you mean we can't drink booze? What are you talking about? What do you mean we can't drink booze? What do you mean? Women are going to be able to vote. Women can't vote. We haven't had that. What are you talking about? Women, what are you talking? We're not going to have slavery anymore. What? What are you talking about? We're not going to have segregation anymore. What? What are you? I mean, things change. Things change. And when we talked about slavery, or we talked about segregation, Jim Crow, you had one side saying, we can't have this. This is horrible. And you had another side saying, hey, no, if you do away with this, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this, it's going to be a good anarchy, a disaster. No different than the whole Brit-X thing. You can't leave. No, you can't leave. Oh, my God, you're leaving. No, man. So, okay, so now what? When the hell did we become a country? When did we become a society that was about status quo? I don't get that. When did we become a society? When did we become a nation where it's like, well, we've always done things that way, and we should always do it that way forever and ever and ever? I mean, this NATO thing, this debate about NATO, and the fact that people are pointing to Pence's speech and saying, oh, Trump and Pence are contradicting each other. Pence is saying opposite. Well, okay, first off, normally vice presidents, well, at least in the past, vice presidents had their own thoughts. They had their own views. Back in the day, a president didn't necessarily pick a vice president who agreed with everything that they... There was a time when the president picked a rival, a real rival. And that person didn't agree with the president on a host of things. It's only recently, and I don't mean recently like Joe Biden recently, but in the last 20, 30 years, that the vice president is basically just a robot. He's just this, okay. And don't we want people with our president who don't have the same views? Don't we want people that would sit in the Oval Office with the president of the United States? And when the president goes, I want to make Fridays free candy day, don't we want people to go, Mr. President, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, why don't you think it's a good or do we just want people that go, great idea, Mr. President, great idea? I mean, we already have a president like that. We already have a president that has just a group of sycophants working for him. We already have a president that have everybody around him that go, oh, yes, Mr. President, whatever you want. Okay, sure, yeah. Don't we want people that don't agree with the president where they sit in a room and go, all right, this is what I want to do. And you have three people that go, Mr. President, we don't agree. And then you have four people that go, Mr. President, we agree. And then the president goes, okay, those of you who don't agree, convince me to be with you. Convince me that my position is wrong. Isn't that the type of president that we want? Isn't that the government that we want? Don't we want that? So this media narrative that, oh, well, Mike Pence, he said our NATO allies. And Trump didn't say we can't support our NATO allies. All Trump said is, hey, if I become president, things are going to be done differently. Real simple. Right now, as we speak, in California, they're gearing up for flights to go to Cuba. That wasn't possible 10 years ago. That wasn't possible 20 years ago. That wasn't possible 30 years ago. That wasn't possible 40 years. I mean, guys, seriously, 50 years ago, JFK, or 55 years ago, whatever the hell the exact time frame was, we banished Cuba forever. And anytime, having relations with Cuba was talked about, it was a non-starter. It was, listen, they need to have democracy. They got to have elections. The Castro's got to be gone. End of story. And now we have flights going back and forth from Cuba, from California. And give it another 1-2 years, Cuba's going to be exactly what Hyman Roth imagined it to be. What Hyman Roth and Michael Corleone were set to create. Give it another few years. So this bizarre, everything has to stay the same, is ludicrous, because things haven't stayed the same. They haven't stayed the same. Imagine our world, imagine our country, if things stayed the same. Pick a day. If you're a homosexual, pick 5 years ago. You don't want things to stay the same from 5 years ago, do you? If you're an African-American, you don't want things to stay the same from, say, 1950. NATO has been what it has been for a very long time, and it doesn't operate right. So when Trump says, hey, I will protect our NATO allies. But if our NATO allies are a bunch of mooches, if our NATO allies, listen, it's a two-way street. You got to be our friend, and we'll be your friend. But this notion that we're everybody's unconditional friend is ridiculous. And for people to say, well, that's not right. Well, why is that not right? Because this is what we've always done. Yeah, and we always had slaves. Women weren't allowed to vote. Gays weren't allowed to marry. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. We couldn't go to Cuba. Hell, at one point, we didn't have relations with China. Tell me you're shocked and you're just, oh my God, this is... No, it's legit. When we talk about fighting ISIS, and we go, well, we're not going to put American boots on the ground per se. What we're going to do is we're going to put 15,000 troops into Afghanistan, into Syria. Out of those 15,000 troops, okay, the United States, we're going to put in 4,000. Germany, you're going to put in 3,000. Italy, you're going to put it. We go down the list. And we go, okay, here you go. And also we get the list back and they go, let's see, the Baltic, they said no. Germany said no. Oh, okay, no problem. They're not allies then. What allies are they? If we're going, hey, we're going to do this mission to rid our country, our world, your country. We're going to rid ISIS, okay? And this is what we need. We're all allies. We're all buddies, okay? And you're telling me, no, you're not going to give me troops, then why the hell should I do things for you? When we pass around the NATO budget, and we go, okay, well, there's a deal, and it's supposed to be a percentage of your GDP, and here's the deal as it is now. This is what you owe, this is what you owe. And we get that paper back, and we go, hey. They're a little light here, they're a little light there. This country, hell, they're not even, they got an IOU. And this country says, go F yourself. Okay, why are they our allies? And to listen to people go, oh, that's not how you run foreign policy. What do you mean that's not? Why? You can't run foreign policy like it's a business. Why? Just why? Well, because that's not what we've done. Okay, well, again, we used to have slavery. Women weren't allowed to vote. Gays couldn't marry. We didn't go to Cuba. We didn't have alliances with China. We thought the world was flat. The list is endless. The list is endless of things that we did for many, 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 many years. And people said, well, we just have to do it that way. Remember, Trump's whole campaign is there was a time when our country was great. Now, under this president, our country sucks. And if Hillary Clinton becomes the president, we're going to continue to suck. Everything that Trump says is predicated on right now this country sucking. And again, the media creates this false, completely bizarre narrative, and the pundits and the cucks and everybody else associated with these CNNs and NBCs and ABCs take a New York Times article and they just roll their eyes and go, oh, that's so absurd. Oh, that's so absurd. You can't tell an ally that if their bill's not paid, you're not going to support that. Oh, that's not what you do. Well, going to Cuba and hanging out with a dictator at a baseball game is not what you do. But Obama did it. Letting black people drink out of white water fountains is not what you do in the 40s, in the 30s. But we did it. So this bizarre notion that you can't rerun NATO and you have to keep it the way it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or whatever exact day NATO was created. It's insane. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And then the other thing that got everybody up in air, because they're nuts. They're in another cloud. Said Trump said he would not pressure Turkey or other authoritarian allies about conducting purges of their political adversaries or cracking down on civil liberties. The United States, he said, has to fix our own mess before trying to alter the behavior of other nations. I don't think we have a right to lecture, Trump said. Look at what is happening in our country. How are we going to lecture people when individuals are shooting policemen in cold blood? People went, oh, That breaks with tradition. And what is he saying? What? How? Again, Trump has said our country sucks right now. Under President Obama, our country sucks. And until we can fix a whole bunch of stuff, cannot be the lecturer and chief of the world. If I am the president of the United States, I cannot be the lecturer and chief until we get our house in order. Again, you're hearing pundits and you're hearing people going, that is just remarkable. We've never done things like that. The Republican Party has never done that. We consider ourselves the greatest country in the world. This is going to enrage a lot of Republicans because they're going to say, Donald Trump, you're saying we're not great? Yeah. Trump is saying for the last 8 years, we have been garbage. We've been crap. Yeah. 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 Well, again, what's outrageous about that? What is outrageous about that? That's why the slogan says, make America great again. If we're not great, how can we tell another country? How could we tell another country how to run their affairs? How? These are logical. They really are. You know, what infuriates so many of these people is that this is every man, every woman talk. This isn't some political theater. This isn't, oh, well, let me say XYZ, and it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter because ultimately what I say isn't real. It's not an answer. It's nothing of the sorts. It's talking out of the left side of my mouth and talking out of the right side of my mouth. Like we all would talk. Trump talks like we all would talk and how we all think. If you've got five friends, listen, real simple. Real simple. If you have five friends, okay, and every, I don't know, Thursday and Sunday, you guys go out to eat. And you guys carpool. And everybody takes turns. And out of that crew, two of the five have alligator hands, alligator arms. Okay? When that bill comes, they don't reach in their pocket. When it comes to the carpool, they're tapped on gas. And yet, sure, maybe the fourth and fifth person, millionaires, but ultimately, everybody has money in relative terms. The restaurants that they're going to can be afforded by everyone. Listen, when you're talking about NATO and you're saying, hey, you got to pay your fair share, you're not saying you got to pay what the United States has to pay if you're, you know, I don't know, Yugoslavia or whatever, some teeny tiny little country that's in NATO. I don't know all the countries in NATO. I guess I should have got a master's degree in that. I'm sorry, I don't. But it has to be relative. That's why you have the GDP. That's why there are troop levels. That's why you can assess what a country can pay, what a country can give to us as far as troops. So if you and your buddies are going out to dinner and you're carpooling and doing all these things and you have two friends that got alligator arms, at some point the other three tell those two, hey, you gotta start carpooling. Okay, we've all are gone into the carpool mode four times each. You guys are at zero. We've paid for the meals four times each. You guys are at zero. You guys got to step up. If you don't step up, we're not going to include you into these meals. We're not going to include you into these carpools. That's just, I mean, Jesus, that's what these people can't fathom. In a million years, they really are. They're so elitist. And it's so funny because these pundits are nothing more than half-assed liberal arts majors with a journalism degree. It's like a degree in women's studies. It's garbage, okay? But they act like everything has to be more sophisticated. Politics has to be more sophisticated. the way you run foreign policy has to be more sophisticated. Everything in government has to be more sophisticated. And that's not the case. Because government is made up by we the people. Our senators, our congressmen, our president. We the people. Everything off of we the people. It's not we the people, the dummies, the simpletons, and them, the geniuses, the all-knowing. That's not how it works. They are us. We are them. And it drives all of the pundits nuts. It drives all of these networks nuts. It drives all of the Mary Catherine Haynes. It drives all of these people that have been programmed in this world that there's nuance in you. Did all of these things, and it's not. It's we the people. It's common sense. It's common sense. That's what it is. You're with a group of people. You're with a group of friends, and you got two or three friends that aren't living up to other friends, and rather it's food or carpool, whatever. Those friends get crapped on, and sometimes those friends get ostracized or at least not included into what is going on. So when we're going to war or we're battling terrorists and we call up a bunch of allies and say, yo, man, we need this, we need that, we need this. And they're like, no. Well, they're not our allies. They're not our allies. And to listen to the Breonna Keeler say Trump contradicts his VP on aiding NATO allies, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said if they fulfill their obligations to us. I didn't recall Mike Pence last night saying we have to defend our NATO allies no matter what, under any circumstances. I didn't hear that. And I didn't hear from Trump saying, I'm not going to defend our NATO allies. All Trump said was, once again, if I become president, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to look at our NATO ally sheet, and I'm going to say, what are they supposed to be doing for us? Well, they're supposed to be doing 10. Well, why are they at 4? We don't know. Really? So they're supposed to be at 10, but they're at 4, and you don't know why they're not at 10? How long have they been at 4? About 10 years. Really? 10 years. So for 10 years, nobody's called them up and said, hey, guys, you need to be at 10. Oh, you can't be at 10? Okay, well, let's split the difference. Okay, let's split the difference. I'm thinking 7. Oh, okay, you can get to 7. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. Pence says Trump will stand with our allies. That is exactly what Trump said. I will stand with our allies. But if they're not holding their end of deals, why would I stand with them? They're not allies. I mean, Jesus. I mean, what's the point of having agreements? What's the point of having deals? What's the point of saying, okay, you GDP, this, that, you got to kick it. What's the point of doing that then? What's the point of doing that if we never intend to hold them up to that end of the deal? What's the point? I mean, it's just like what Obama did with Vietnam. We restored all these relations with them, and same thing with Cuba. It's like they were all supposed to imprison people for political dissent. They were not supposed to do the things that they still do. That was what was supposed to happen. But Obama said, F it. F it. So what's wrong with the president saying, hey, we're not going to let you do this, or we're not going to do this with you unless you do that? I mean, it really is just, it's amazing. And I go back to my beginning statement. Imagine the debate. Imagine the debate on women having the right to vote. Imagine the debate on slavery. Imagine the debate on segregation. Imagine the debate on Jim Crow. Imagine the debate. All of these issues. Imagine the debate. If you had TV back then, real TV, cable TV. I mean, I know we had some TV back in the 50s and 60s. But just imagine the technology. Round the clock, you'd be hearing pundits going, can you believe Trump is talking about freeing the slaves? Huh? This is unheard of. Can you believe Trump is talking about women being able to vote? What? This is unheard of. Can you believe that Trump is talking? Can you believe that Trump is talking about China? And going to China and having a relationship with China? It's just ludicrous. It is. It's ludicrous. It really is. It really is ludicrous. It really is ludicrous. Oh, it's just killing me. I mean, and listen, we're gonna talk more about this. I got the transcripts. The transcripts are fascinating. They're fascinating because what you're getting on CNN, what you're getting on MSNBC. Is what they want all of the world to either believe or create an opinion from that clip. Like I said, when they're debating on CNN, Trump and his VP contradicting each other, or Mitch McConnell saying he doesn't agree. They're creating this narrative because they're going to a McConnell or they're going to a pundit saying, so Trump says we shouldn't support our NATO allies. And that's not what he said. It's absolutely not what he said. And it's funny because it's a continuation from March. So this Sanger, okay, they met with Trump at the convention. So he says, and this is part of the transcript. So what we want to do is pick up where we left off in March. We were listening to Speaker Ryan last night, and he presented a much more traditional Republican engaged international view of the world, one in which he said that the United States would never lead from behind. In our conversation a few months ago, you were discussing pulling back from communities or commitments we can no longer afford unless others pay for them. You were discussing a set of alliances that you are happy to participate in, Trump. And I think, by the way, David, I think they will be able to afford them. Sanger, they may be. Trump, we can't. Sanger, but I guess the question is, if we can't, do you think that your presidency, let's assume for a moment that they contribute to what they are contributing today or what they have contributed historically, your presidency would be one of pulling back and saying, you know what, we're not going to invest in these alliances with NATO. We are not going to invest as much as we have in Asia since the end of the Korean War because we can't afford it. And it's really not in our interest to do so. So that's what Sanger says. And Trump says, we cannot be properly reimbursed for the tremendous cost of our military protecting other countries. And in many cases, the countries I'm talking about are extremely rich. That if we cannot make a deal, which I believe we will be able to, and which I would prefer being able to, but if we cannot make a deal, I would like to say I would prefer being able to. Some people, the one thing they took out of your last story, you know, some people, the fools, the haters, they said, oh, Trump doesn't want to protect you. I would prefer that we are able to continue. But if we are not going to be reasonably reimbursed for the tremendous cost of protecting these massive nations with tremendous wealth, you have the tape going on. He tells Singer, we do. Haberman, we both do. Trump, with massive wealth, we're talking about countries that are doing very well, then yes, I would be absolutely prepared to tell those countries, congratulations, you will be defending yourself. Sanger, that suggests that our forward deployments around the world are based on their interests. They're not really based on our interests. And yet, I think many in your party would say that the reason that we have troops in Europe, the reason that we keep 60,000 troops in Asia, is that it's in our interest to keep open trading lines. It's in our interest to keep the North Koreans in check. You do that much better out away from the United States. Trump, I think it's mutual interest, but we're being reimbursed like it's only in our interest. I think it's a mutual interest. Sanger. And I'm not going to keep going through this, but I'm just giving you a taste of the real story. Not the narrative that CNN and MSNBC and ABC and the rest of them are trying to feed you. Sanger continues, we are talking about alliances and the fundamental problem that you hear many Republicans, traditional Republicans, have with the statement that you've made is that it would seem to them that you would believe that the interest of the United States being out with both our troops and our diplomacy abroad is less than in our economic interests and having somebody else support that. In other words, even if they didn't pay a cent toward it, many have believed that way we've kept our post-war leadership since World War II has been our ability to project power around the world. That's why we got this many diplomats. Trump said, how is that helping us? How has it helped us? We have massive trade deficits. I could see that if instead of having a trade deficit worldwide of $800 billion, we had a trade positive of $100 billion, $200 billion, $800 billion. So now, has it helped us? Sanger, well, keeping the peace. We didn't have a presence in places like Korea in the 50s, or not as great presence. And you saw what happened. There's no guarantee, Trump says, that we'll have peace in Korea. Sanger, even with our troops? No, there's no guarantee. Trump, no, there's no guarantee. We have 28,000 soldiers on the line. Sanger, but we've had them there since 1953. And Trump, sure, but that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be something going on right now. Maybe you would have a unified Korea. Who knows? What would have happened? In the meantime, what have we done? So we've kept peace. But in the meantime, we've let North Korea get stronger and stronger and more nuclear and more nuclear. And you are really saying, well, how is that a good thing? You understand? North Korea now is almost like a boiler. You say we've had peace, but that part of Korea, North Korea, is getting more and more crazy and more nuclear. And they are testing missiles all the time. Sanger, they are. Trump, and we've got our soldiers sitting there watching missiles go up. And you say to yourself, oh, that's interesting. Now we're protecting Japan because Japan is a natural location for North Korea. So we are protecting them. And you say to yourself, well, what are we getting out of this? Sanger, well, we keep our missile defenses out there, and those missile defenses help prevent the day when North Korea can reach the United States with one of its missiles. It's a lot easier to shoot down from there. We've had them there for a long time, and now they're practically obsolete, in all fairness. The relatively new missile defenses would allow us. I mean, Trump is giving him good comeback. Do you know what I'm saying? Just imagine this debate about women voting. Imagine this debate about slavery. I mean, just imagine this debate about other huge topics that have transformed this country. I mean, just putting the date 1953 says something. We're doing something since 1953. And why? Because what worked in 1953, what worked in 1963, what worked in 1970. Well, how do you know whatever is supposed to be working, like Trump said, even though we're in that area and North Korea is full of nuclear weapons. So why are we in that area? Why are we in that area? I mean, I think we're in that area. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a college educated, college graduate, but if I recall, we're in that area to make sure Japan, I guess, really doesn't get funny again. I mean, seriously. I guess. I mean, aren't we past this type of stuff, considering that if a war breaks out, it's nuclear? And it doesn't really matter as far as troops are concerned, because it's going to be a bunch of soldiers sitting in bunkers somewhere, playing basic war games. Playing PlayStation. What I mean by that is they're going to be firing thousands and thousands and thousands of nuclear warheads from silos with joysticks and trigger buttons. We're not going to have soldiers on the ground. That's why this type of stuff is obsolete. And the notion that, oh, well, we can't change that. Why? Well, because we've done it since 1953. Wow, okay. I think we had segregation back then. We're talking about a policy that dates back to segregation. I mean, are you kidding me? What are those soldiers there for? Like Trump said, to stare at missiles being launched from North Korea. If Japan got a little funny again, what do you think we're going to send our soldiers there? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to march our soldiers there with their on the ground? Doo-doo-doo. Really? No. No, they're getting hit with nukes. If a real war breaks out, a real war, like a World War III type of scenario, soldiers are not going to be used. We are not going to have ground troops throwing nuclear weapons at people. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it really is. I mean, seriously. I mean, again, we'll keep dissecting this because remember, they're not going to be dissecting it too much today because you've got the final day of the convention. And then tomorrow, they will discuss Hillary Clinton's Veep pick. Because tomorrow she's going to announce her Veep pick. She's been doing the focus groups. They've added Cory Booker. Because guess what? The focus groups are like, so you're floating Vilsack and you're floating Tim Kaine, two old white guys. Think you need a little color. Think you need a little color there, Madam Secretary. So now Cory Booker is part of the mix. So they're not going to talk about this. Tomorrow they'll talk about what happened last night with the convention, and they'll talk about Hillary's Veep pick, and then Monday we'll start the Democrat convention. But we will talk more about this New York Times article because it incenses me when I hear the people talking about Trump not supporting allies and not knowing what he's talking about as far as foreign policy and the fact that we've had troops in an area since 1953. And you can't change that. You can't mess with that. And nobody could give you a good reason. You see the hipster New York Times reporter had no real reason. He just said, well, should North Korea have the day? Well, and that wasn't even the soldiers. The whole soldiers, even on the docket as far as his response, the missile defense shield that's basically obsolete. That was the thing that will stop North Korea from a missile that can hit us. The troops, there was no answer. The troops was just keeping the peace. Oh. Keeping the peace. That's it. Keeping the peace. insane. Absolutely insane. All right, listen, it's Rob Scarry Show. We're going to close this thing out. It's 12:45. It's over. We've had a long show. I think this is one of our better shows. That's just me saying that. Maybe some of you will disagree and you'll say, Rob, no, you suck. This show was one of the worst. Show's one of the worst. Might be what you guys say. I thought it was one of the best. I did. I thought it was one of the best. Thought it was one of the best. All right. Don't forget. Follow us at Facebook. The Rob Scarry Show. It's weird. It's like I have two Facebook pages. It's just bizarre. It's like I have two Facebook pages and you don't. Nothing. My situation with all my stuff is just not good. It's like I have two Facebook pages. Rob Scarry Show. It's like one page and then another page. So one page is, I don't know, if one page is like an old page and then the other page is the new page. But how does somebody know what page they're going to? That's I don't know. All right, but go to Rob Scarry Show. It's Facebook. Okay? Rob Scarry Show. Facebook, Rob Scarry Show. And then, if you want to go to Twitter, our Twitter feed is, the hell is it? Where is my Twitter feed? At Rob Scarry Show. Because I know you guys are like, dude, you don't know your because the Twitter is at Rob Scarry Show. Facebook is Rob Scarry Show. But my website is therobscarryshow.com. So I get confused. All right? Give me an effing break. All right, go there, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget tonight's the big Trump speech. It'll be huge. So go there. Watch it. Go to my tweets. Yeah, you'll think they're funny, or maybe not, whatever. And we'll see you tomorrow. All right, out of here. Later. Goodbye. Have a good day.